have a trade. And we not only have a trade, we have a trade involving a New York baseball team. So tell me, would you like to break the glass on this fine Wednesday afternoon, July 30th, 26 hours away before the MLB trade deadline? The New York Mets have acquired a relief pitcher who I didn't even know was available. Tyler Rogers, the side-arming reliever of the San Francisco Giants, who's been with the Giants for a long time, and I'm going to knock on wood when I say this, is always healthy, which is half the battle when your reliever stays on the field, leads the league currently in appearances, and has pitched to a 1.80 ERA. So Tyler Rogers, one of the more reliable relievers in baseball, has been acquired. I don't know what they gave up. Ken Rosenthal was the first to report it. I would actually say, Teak, that is more than a lottery ticket because he's a reliable, good reliever.
Right. He's been in the league for 7 years. Seventh season. So
yes.
Consistently good, even though he just lost the game against the Pirates the other day, but it doesn't matter. This is kind of what we thought David Stearns would do, too. Nothing out of this world splashy, but just shore up your bullpen. You already got Soto in there. Now you go get Rodgers, and you hope that it's enough with what you already have to put yourself in contention to get back to where you are.
What I love about a move like this, and I could eat these words because baseball is a crazy game, is most relief pitchers, and I have said this for years, are absolute wild cards. You don't know what you're getting from up and down nature of the sport. Tyler Rogers is one of those rare guys who's very, very reliable.
Well, he's reliable, and over the last 4 years or so, he just keeps getting better and better and better.
Now,
3.57 a couple years ago, then 3.0, then 2.82, and now he's 1.80 ERA-wise.
And I'll tell you something very strange about him that's also really fun. So the fun part is he is a submarine pitcher. Okay, he comes way under, which I love.
I loved them when I was a kid.
Me too!
Who was the pitcher?
Jeff Innes.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't paying attention to Jeff Innes.
No, there was someone else. I can't remember now. I was like a kid.
Right.
So it was probably in the 80s. Just was way submarine. I was like, how in the world do you do that?
It's amazing.
And throw strikes.
Like they're dragging their knuckles on the ground as they come underneath. It's very impressive. But what's funny about a guy like that, he's a right-hander, is that you would think he's murder against righties. And the splits throughout Rogers' career and this season is that he gets everybody out. He's good against lefties and he's good against righties. And so sometimes when you see a guy with a windup like that, you're like, ah, he's just...
Right.
You just need to get the right lane for him. And the truth is, he gets everybody out. So this is
Quisenberry. That's what I'm thinking.
That's who you're thinking of?
Dan Quisenberry.
You're older than I thought.
Yeah.
No offense. So this is a really good move. I'm very excited about this. Do we know what they gave up yet?
We do not.
All right, either way, I'm pumped up. This is a good move. Are you excited, Tommy?
Very excited. Not that anybody cares about this part, but Rogers has been on my fantasy team over the last couple of years, so I've watched him a lot and I'm at least keeping a close eye on him. Most reliable, like you said, one of the elite relievers in baseball. I think this is a tremendous move. Let's see what they gave up, but I love the move.
Never apologize. Let me tell you the beautiful thing about fantasy, especially the league we're in. Me and Tommy, because we're in the league, and anyone else in the league, but in terms of on air, we know more about relievers than anyone.
We do specialize in the relief pitchers.
We specialize, we do. And so we know.
That's fair.
So like Gregory Soto, I had a very strong opinion on based on my history with him.
Yeah.
Which is not good. Unlike yours with Tyler Rogers. Yeah. So in a weird way, yes, fantasy is selfish. No one cares about your team. But it does give you knowledge about players that maybe most people aren't as familiar with because they're freaking relievers. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't want people to think it's like clouding my judgment. I could just tell you he was money for me in fantasy. He's been great. Tremendous.
Yeah, so good move by David Stearns. He's added two relievers now, Gregory Soto and Tyler Rogers, and we go from there. The Mets are currently playing. We'll keep you posted. They're in San Diego with a late afternoon game, trying to avoid a three-game sweep at the hands of the San Diego Padres. Actually, kind of an important game because, A, the Padres are a wild card threat, and so you never know if you need the tiebreaker, which I love to bring up. And, B, who the hell wants a three-game losing streak after starting off 3-0 on this West Coast trip? It kind of ruins it.
Right.
Like, if you told me going into the trip I'd be good with 3-3, you can't tell me that when you start 3-0 and go 0-3. So don't use that in your positive Tommy tweet if they lose today, okay? Thank you.
I won't.
You will or you won't?
Oh, the 7-3?
No, the 3-3. The, hey, West Coast trip.
No, I was going to do, now they're going to win, but if they happen to lose, I was going to do their 7-3 in their last 10.
Don't do that.
Why not?
Because they've lost three in a row.
It doesn't matter.
But it's true. Factually.
Thank you, TJ.
He's right.
If I had told
you the lineup is Nimmo, Vientos, who got a hit in his first at bat, Lindor, who just popped out, Alonzo, McNeil, Alvarez, Mauricio, Beatty, and Tyrone Taylor.
Obviously missing Juan Soto, who's dealing with the foot issue. We'll see if he's available off the bench. But that's the Mets. They just made a trade for Tyler Rogers. So here we are, still 26 hours before the trade deadline. The Mets have now added two relievers, and the Yankees have added three bats, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. You almost forget about Ryan McMahon and Ahmed Rosario, and earlier today they added a fourth outfielder in Austin Slater. They still need bullpen help. They could still use a starting pitcher. So we're not done yet, but both the Mets and the Yankees have been active. Let's go to Andrew in Lawrence, New York. What's up, Andrew?
What's up, guys? Just give me a second because I've been holding for a bit. I just got a point, and I wanted to just follow up with your comment regarding Acuna. You know, I'm glad that he plays center field. And thinking you guys could just chime in on this. Like, I look at you guys as the elite athletes, and right. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but, like, if you took Ozzie Smith and put him in the outfield, the guy would be amazing. So, like, it kind of, like, I think we overanalyze things sometimes when you guys are amazing athletes, and I would just go with that talent sometimes overanalyzing. And just my second point, Evan, you might appreciate this because we talk about sending people down. Why can't they send Alonso down? Like, what happened with Alvarez was amazing. He went down, they really looked into what the issue was, and they fixed it. So what is his perception?
I'll give you the answer to that, and we have to let you go because it sounds like you're in a submarine or something. Pete can't be sent down.
Yeah.
Once you have a certain amount of service time, you're just not allowed to. And so what happens is you need permission. So many years ago, the Mets had a pitcher, a free agent pitcher, named Steve Traxel, and he stunk. And they actually went to him and said, we'd like to send you down.
Right. We want to keep you because we don't want to DFA you. We want to keep you, but you need to work on things.
Yeah, we believe in you. We just need to work on things. And Steve said, okay. And he went down to the minor leagues as this veteran making a lot of money, came back, and he was fine. So it's rare for that to happen. It could happen. I get your point about Pete. Like, let's just have a discussion about him, because I don't think we really have.
No, we haven't. And it's been bad over the last 15, 20-some games. He's been really bad.
It goes. You know what's crazy, Teague? It goes back further than that. Like, Pete Alonso, if you go back over a 50-game sample size, 50. Which is a third of a season,
right?
He is hitting under 200. He's only hit 5 home runs. So, yes, coming out of the All-Star break, he's 4 for 42, and he's 0 for 1 already in this Met-Padre game. He's just a mess. And his at-bats are awful, and he's striking out a lot. Now, the good news is his defense has been great, but in terms of his offense, he is going through it right now, and I don't think it's gotten a lot of attention for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Mets have been winning, so when you're winning, it's easy to say, no biggie. I think the other thing that's been going on is he got off to such a good start, his numbers are still good. And that's why I always say when a guy gets off to a bad start, it's more recognizable because you see an 0.85 batting average as compared to when you go through a slump like Pete. You know, his average is certainly dipped, but his OPS is still good. His home runs are still good. And so it becomes less noticeable because you're not staring at really ugly numbers. But the reality is Pete's going through it right now.
No biggie.
It is a biggie, though. That's the problem. And while you may be able to weather it right now, especially coming off a 7-game winning streak, and obviously you're struggling here in San Diego, but you can weather it because of how good the team has been
right
over this little streak. But eventually, you're going to need Pete Alonso. Eventually, you're going to need Lindor and Soto and all these guys that you're paying a ton of money to perform as they're paid. Like that's why you build teams the way that you build them. You keep your stars because you expect them to be productive when you need them to be productive.
100%.
And at some point, Pete's got to come out of this.
I think here's where you get concerned. Do you think he's going to get out of it?
Of course I do.
Okay, so then it's just a matter of when.
Look, he was bad last year for a lot of the season.
Yeah.
And then when it got to the postseason, he kind of turned it on.
Just to give you those numbers, so if you go back to, and the date I pulled up is June 2nd, because that was the last time he was hitting over 300.
This year.
This season. It is now 50 games. I'm not going to include today. He's 0 for 1. 50 games. 190 batting average. 5 home runs. A 598 OPS, 47 strikeouts.
Wow.
That's a third of a season. That basically sets a 200 strikeout pace for Pete Alonso. By the way, it's a 40-game sample size, so it's even worse. That's actually a quarter of a season.
Right.
So that sets, I mean, it's awful. There's no other way to put it. Like, he is going through it right now. It's baseball. It's hard. I believe he'll get out of it. I think a big part of the spot they were in to begin the season was because of Pete Alonso. But there's just no denying right now it's bad.
Right.
Sending him down is not the answer. It's also not an option, to our caller's point.
But I don't think it's not something that he needs to work on in the minor leagues. It's just his approach has been bad. And he's swinging through pitches out of the zone. But you're right. It's defense. I think the reason they did it with Alvarez, because it was both. He was a mess at the plate.
But he's also a young player who's still unproven.
Right.
You know, guys like Pete and Francisco Lindor, I mean, they're the proven players.
And he still had options. And so it was easy to do that. And so it's different with a veteran player who's done it at a high level for a lot of years. And so Pete Alonso, he would never agree to it. I don't think he needs to go down to the minors. He just needs to start hitting better.
Period. Yeah. And I'll give you another one. Since June 15th, this is a 37-game sample size. Mm. Francisco Lindor, 188 with a 587 OPS. So two of your best players over the same amount of time are awful.
Yeah, and somehow they're still able to have 7-game winning streaks.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you?
Well, it tells you that the bottom of the order was stepping up, and it tells you they started pitching better.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of how they were able to succeed early in the season when other guys were struggling. So it's great that they're winning games. I mean, I'm not complaining about that. It's just to acknowledge that both Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor are going through it.
John Heyman, the Mets have given up Tidwell, Gilbert, and a third player for Rodgers.
That's a lot. I'll tell you right now, so Blade Tidwell is obviously... Blade Tidwell,
right, and Gilbert?
Drew Gilbert was the outfielder they got back in the Justin Verlander trade, who has been red hot lately. I mean, neither guy are top 100 prospects.
No, they're not coming up anytime soon, but still.
They gave up a lot.
Yeah.
But I think, and maybe this is the thinking David Stearns has, and Tyler Rogers, by the way, is a rental. He's a free agent at the end of the year, if my memory serves correct on that, and obviously double check. I don't think he's got controllability for a few years. I think he's literally a free agent. He could be gone. They could re-sign him. I think with Tidwell and Gilbert, they're both still decent prospects who are behind other guys. So Tidwell is behind Brandon Sproat. He's behind Jonah Tong. He's behind Nolan McLean. And Drew Gilbert, as a center fielder, is falling behind Carson Benj, who's tearing it up at double A.
I have another unique anecdote about this trade, and it applies to Tiki.
Go ahead.
So Rodgers was just traded here to the Mets. Earlier today, Rodgers' twin brother, Taylor, was traded to the Pirates in the A's deal. So two twins on two different teams were traded on the same day.
That's awesome.
That is crazy. I didn't even hear about the Taylor-Rodgers trade. I didn't hear about that. We didn't break the glass for that one.
Are they identical twins? That's the question.
Well, hold on. Isn't Taylor Rodgers a lefty?
He is.
I mean, think about that.
So they're mirror twins.
So what does that mean?
It means that they probably grew up doing things like staring at each other and doing things opposite.
Is that common for twins to be the opposite?
You see it
handedness.
Here and there. You see it here and there. Me and Rondé are not. We're the same.
Yeah,
like everything we do is basically the same. But sometimes you do get mirror twins.
Identical mirror image twin.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's the term that's used for it.
Yeah. So they're opposite on everything that they do. So they always were looking at us, facing each other.
That's crazy. I learned a lot today. That part's
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. They gave up a lot.
I would love to see baby pictures of them.
I'm sure you could find it.
I don't know. But
that's the Rodgers family. I mean, I'm sure the parents are very happy about Tyler coming to New York.
Uh-huh.
They're probably not very happy about Taylor going to Pittsburgh. He was traded to Pittsburgh today?
He was traded for Key Brian Hayes.
Oh, God. Okay. Uh-huh. That makes a little bit more sense. What the hell would the Pirates want with Taylor Rodgers? He's a veteran lefty reliever. The Pirates stink and they're not going anywhere.
Pirates also got another prospect.
Prospects are one. Yeah. Let's just get back to the Met thing. The Mets gave up a lot. Now, I'm still digesting this. I'm not freaking out because I think in this world you got to give up something to get something. And I was waxing poetic about the reliability of Tyler Rogers. Well, if you're going to get a really good, reliable reliever, you got to give something up. I think what makes me feel better about the Gilbert Tidwell return is, like I said, they have other prospects that have surpassed all of them. Like, we saw Blade Tidwell earlier this season. Sort of impressive at times. Sort of not impressive at times. And I don't think a guy that we were really excited about seeing again this season. Gilbert was a mystery because we heard about him because of the Verlander trade. But because of the other possibilities they have, whether it's Jet Williams playing center field, whether it's Carson Benj, who's a double-A outfielder, it felt like Gilbert was always expendable. And David Stearns made a comment recently that Gilbert was playing his way into a conversation about being up here. Well, now he gets to go to San Francisco.
Do you want the third player Joel Sherman has?
I mean, yes.
Jose Buto.
Wow. Oh, jeez.
Really?
I'm surprised. They gave up a major leaguer. So the Giants, that's a lot to give up.
Well, remember, the Giants are in it.
No, I know.
So
I
the
know.
Idea that they're giving up Rodgers, they're not selling him. They're almost like, all right, give us a reliever back and prospects. So it's a good job by them to get a major leaguer and prospects.
Look, I'll say this again. I like the trade because I like Tyler Rodgers. They gave up a lot.
Wow.
I am very surprised about how much they gave up.
They're not fully mirror, by the way. Because Taylor does not pitch submarine style.
Nobody's a lefty was the point.
I know, but he's just a traditional overhand lefty. Whereas Tyler is just a submarine. It's kind of cool. They did a mirror side by side of them on top of each other, like images, videos on top of each other. Their pitching styles is actually pretty cool. I mean, it's twins. You got me twins talking, traded on the same day. How can I not look and watch it?
No, I get it.
It's so amazing.
I'm mentally trying to deal with the fact the Mets gave up a lot for a player I'm excited they got. And Tiggy's like, huh, mirror twins.
I'm waiting for Evan to say, like, mid-season trade for the Mets where they got a reliever back. Is this the first time they've given up this much? Well, I remember in 1996.
Want one?
Yeah, I was thinking. You were thinking that. Give me something here.
Yeah, they made dueling trades with the A's back in 99 where they got Kenny Rogers,
who was
obviously a starter, and Billy Taylor. What I get confused about is who, when, and what deal. So, like, Terrence Long was in one of the deals, and Jason Isringhausen was in one of the deals. So, I forget who went where, because Billy Taylor would be the equivalent, not Kenny Rogers. He's a starter.
Yeah, right? Kenny Rogers was for Leo Vasquez and Terrence Long.
Okay. So
Taylor was Izzy. And
so Izzy went for Billy Taylor.
Billy Taylor was an elite closer, one of the better closers in baseball.
I understand.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
He absolutely sucked for the Mets.
I understand that, but I'm just, for context purposes, if people don't know who Taylor was.
Billy Taylor with the A's that season was their closer and had pitched to a 3.98 ERA. So not the greatest, but a closer. He comes to the Mets and gives up 12 runs in 13 innings, pitches to an 8 ERA. 2 years later, he was out of baseball. He was also older. He was 38 years old. And the Mets at the time gave up Jason Isringhausen, which is, yeah. So that was abysmal. That's a disaster. Now, is this going to be a disaster? Look, there's two levels here. What's Tyler Rogers going to do for the Mets? If he's what he's been throughout his career, that's a great addition. It's a great addition. Then it comes down to the three players they gave up. I think we already know about Jose Buto. He was terrible yesterday, but he's had some success with the Mets. Could also start. Maybe that's something the Giants will eventually do when he turns into Seth Lugo 2.0. And Drew Gilbert and Blake Tidwell are just flat-out prospects. But I like the trade. They got better today. They gave up a lot. And I'll just repeat that over and over again because it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
They gave up a lot.
I was going to say, what is the price for Duran now? Derek Jeter's DNA?
I think the price on Duran is a lot.
Yeah, my God.
Like, for Yankee fans and Met fans, I'll give you specific context on it. I think in the Yankees' case, they're going to ask for Jason Dominguez or Spencer Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the Mets' case, they're going to ask for one of their big three starting pitching prospects of either Sproat, Tong, or McClain. Are you willing to do that for a reliever? He's a good one.
But he's controllable, too, so.
Yeah, in this case.
That's different.
And Tyler Rogers, have you confirmed he's a free agent at the end of the year, correct?
He is a free agent at the end of the year.
That is a lot for a rental reliever? Again, I like it. Don't misinterpret my tone. They gave up a lot.
But you can buy in Queens. People do like to buy there now. It's a lot nicer than it was a couple years ago.
Oh, you're talking about the Mets re-signing him?
Of course.
They may.
Yeah.
They may not.
I don't know. I'm just saying, when you say rental, how much is a 35-year-old reliever going to cost you if he's really good for you and you want to bring him back? That's all I'm saying. When you look at their bullpen, it's not like if Edwin, you know, they don't have a lot of options out there that you love long term.
I understand that, and there's a good chance they do bring him back. They gave up a lot.
But like, they also.
I am surprised that you told me throws three names. I just them.
They also put themselves in a position, I think, with their farm system to make moves like this, where they do have more of an influx of players than they did in the past.
100%. And that's,
you know, they could shoulder this kind of blow.
That's what I was saying earlier about, like, Drew Gilbert is not their top outfield prospect. Blake Tidwell is not even a top four or five pitching prospect. So, yes, they can weather it with the depth of their system. Crazy, though. We'll come back. We'll get to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Mets making trades. Yankees are linked on some big names. The trade deadline is starting to move. And for one final time, because I guess I'll never get to say this again, and I got to say this many, many times, I love Big Buto, and I cannot lie. One last time, Tiki, because he's gone now.
I know.
I no longer love Big Buto, and I cannot lie.
You never really did.
There are things about baseball that are so different than the sport you once played, Tiki.
Yes.
And we are witnessing one of them. If you're just tuning in on this trade deadline eve, the New York Mets are acquiring Tyler Rogers, really good relief pitcher from the San Francisco Giants. And they're giving up two pretty good prospects, Blake Tidwell and Drew Gilbert. And they're also giving up a guy on their major league roster, as we all know, Jose Buto. And Jose Buto was in the Met bullpen because the Mets are playing an afternoon game.
This is cold-blooded.
And so... We see on SNY Jose Buto being talked to by a member of the Met coaching staff, presumably telling him, you're moving to San Francisco, bro. You got traded. And so we eventually see Jose get up. We eventually see him leave. He's given handshakes and hugs to some of his teammates. But in very few sports does something like this happen.
I think baseball's the only one.
Yeah, because even in basketball and hockey, you never see something like this.
No, it's all behind the scenes and... out of sight, but, I mean, it just sucks for him.
Well, it doesn't suck as much as Wilmer 10 years ago, and that's the famous one where he was on the field, and it was being reported, and social media was rampant in 2015, that he was being traded. It got back down to the field, and so Wilmer was crying on the field while still in the game, and in the defense of then-Met manager Terry Collins, he never got a phone call.
Yeah.
Like, no one called Terry to say, hey, pull Wilmer, we're working on a deal. Nothing happened. So what was he supposed to do? So luckily in Buto's case, he sucked last night pitching. He's not pitching today. He wasn't going to pitch today anyway. And so it's just merely him sitting in the bullpen. But this is not something Tiki Barber ever had to deal with.
No, but I wonder what he does. Like, you get traded. You're on a West Coast trip. You literally were just in San Francisco.
Well, and you know who the Giants are playing on Friday?
The Mets.
At Citi Field.
At Citi Field.
Yes.
So do you go back home with the team? Like, you fly independent? Like, what do you do?
Do they allow that for him to fly back with the Mets?
I don't know.
Or is he kicked off the plane? Like, go find your own way.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's not like he's going to have any other state secrets that weren't, you know, he doesn't already know.
Yeah.
He's still his guy. You could be nice to him, and hey, you're coming home anyway.
Well, the San Francisco Giants don't play tomorrow. The San Francisco Giants currently, what are they doing right now? Oh, they're at home. They're playing a game right now. So Tyler Rogers is in the same situation, except Tyler's probably excited. Someone told him, you go to New York, you're playing for the Mets. He's like, get me the hell out of here.
Hey, Tyler, get in a car, drive down. Where are the Giants?
So the Giants are at home.
They're at home. Get in a car, drive down south a little bit. When you get to San Diego, just hop on a plane with the Mets. You'll be all right.
That could happen.
It could.
And Jose Buto could do the opposite. Uh-huh. He could drive down San Diego to San Francisco. Is a very long drive.
It's a hike.
Believe it or not, I've made this drive before. I've done a lot.
4.5 hours?
No, you're being way
six.
Six? It's way more than six.
It's way more
you
than six.
You have to stay over. That's how long it is. I've done it too.
So L.A., San Francisco, I did, and I think it was like 5.5. San Diego, L.A. is another 2. So I think you're looking at about.
I don't think it's that far.
It's not a full 2.
Because I stayed in L.A.
I just did this.
I stayed in L.A. when Rondé was in the Super Bowl, and that they were in San Diego.
Right.
And so I drove to the game that game day.
So what is your guess? Because I'm going to look it up right now on Google Maps. What's your guess?
It's probably 64 miles or something like that.
How long is that ride?
It was traffic, so it took us like an hour and 30 minutes or something. But I would assume without traffic, it's probably like an hour.
So as always, I'm right about this.
Go ahead.
Because you can't question me on driving. San Diego to L.A. is 127 miles. Mm. And right now, with mild traffic, it's 2.5 hours. Well, so isn't that basically what I just said?
It is.
I did it 145. Don't know how slow you drive, F.
By the way, I had this. I'll never forget this conversation. So Joe and I went to Jets Chargers in the playoffs. The station didn't send us. We sent ourselves, and the flights were way too expensive. So we flew to L.A. It just, believe it or not, was cheaper to go to L.A., stay in L.A., and drive to San Diego. So we were having this conversation on the air about how far L.A. is to San Diego, and I was talking, it's 2.5 hours. Mike comes in, much like Sean. Mike and Sean are like the same guy. What do you drive, like an old lady? Okay. I have done L.A. to San Diego in 45 minutes. Okay, so what do you drive like? Under the speed limit? Like, what the hell's wrong with you? So basically, Sean is Mike Francesa.
All right.
Mets are losing to the Padres. Manny Machado came through with a 2-run hit. So early on in San Diego, trying to avoid getting swept. They're losing to the Padres 2-0. We'll keep you posted. But they did acquire Tyler Rogers for a boatload. And that's going to impact the Yankees, too, because if a relief pitcher who's 34 years old, as good as he is, who's a free agent at the end of the year, is netting that kind of return, well, relievers are going to be damn expensive.
Well,
then.
Isn't it also the fact that Blade hasn't been good? Tidwell has not been good. And so while we might look at him as this great potential prospect, the Yankees or the Mets probably are saying, yeah, he's probably not right for us, especially considering the three other guys that we have in the minor leagues right now. And then Buto is as I'm reading in the Mets chat, out of options. So
no, I mean more, but look, Tidwell is still a 24-year-old pitcher who was a second-round pick 3 years ago. You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
He's not a top 100 prospect. I'm not suggesting he is, but he's a prospect. He's a decent young arm. Drew Gilbert was one of the key pieces back for Verlander. Like, neither of these guys are top 100 prospects, but they're decent prospects for a 34-year reliever who's a free agent at the end of the year. And so if that's the price tag on a 34-year reliever who's a free agent at the end of the year, you can imagine what the price tag would be on other relievers, especially younger ones who have team control.
Now
that's all I'm saying.
I don't know the answer to this question, so I'll ask you because you're deep into this. Does this change over the years?
What do you mean?
So a 34-year-old reliever that's a free agent after the season, what would this have cost 2 years ago?
I don't think it's about, like, I don't think it would have been much different. I think what makes guys cost a lot are how many sellers there are and how many buyers there are.
Right, so it changes every year.
And I think there just seems to be more teams buying than selling, and hence the prices come up. That'd be my guess. By the way, Jose Buto, who left, is now back. So Buto is sitting there watching the rest of this game, maybe figuring, what else do I have to do? I may as well watch the team that I'm now competing with lose. So, yeah, I find that whole thing fascinating.
Take off the hat, dude.
Does he still have the uniform on?
Yeah. Wearing his uniform and hat.
Don't you have to at least take off the hat?
Is it possible that Jose Buto went back, called his agent? His agent said, it's not official yet.
Yes.
And so Jose's like, oh, well, it's not official. I'll just sit back and watch the game. It's a beautiful afternoon in San Diego.
Right. Every trade has to have a physical involved.
You're correct. And there's a lot of guys involved because you're talking about four players being moved.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that may have been what happened. And now Jose's hanging out. All right, let's get back to your phone calls. Obviously, the trade deadline getting hot and heavy now as we are a little more than 24 hours away. 6 o'clock tomorrow is the deadline. We will be all over it along with talking a lot of Giant football because we're going to have our Giant day tomorrow. So it'll be a big mix of baseball trade deadline and talking to some very important New York football Giants. Let's go to Angel in the Bronx. What's up, Angel?
Hello, guys. How's everyone?
All's good. What's up, man?
So I wanted to talk about Volpe, but I've been on the phone for an hour and a half, so I don't care about him. Just send him down, okay? I honestly feel with this trade the Mets recently did, or apparently reportedly did, I feel Buto is the name that brings it over the top. I feel like if it was just those two prospects, it wouldn't be too much, but adding Buto is a little much now because he's proven to be a major league ball player despite his struggles. He's had some stretches with the Mets where he was solid. I'm just worried about who can... Oh, never mind. We got Rico Garcia. We're good, bro. We're fine.
I think that Jose Buto was a decent Met, and there was always that possibility they could move him back to the rotation. But I think with him not being having any options left, so they can't send him down.
Yep.
It was probably, hey, this can enhance the trade, and we may get another reliever down the road, or we may end up calling up our top prospects anyway to work out of the bullpen. And so Jose Buto may have been a guy who, in the middle of August, the Mets didn't necessarily want on their 26-man roster.
Yeah, but
that makes sense.
And I also think, in a lot of ways, he was replaced by Clay Holmes, because Clay Holmes fits that role. I can be a starter, or I can be a reliever for you. And so if he's not going to be as consistent or as good as Clay Holmes potentially is, then there's a redundancy there, right? So you go better your bullpen, your relief arms, by if you have to move them, but you're not losing that position specifically because you have someone who could potentially fill it.
They also did something interesting yesterday that I didn't pick up on until I heard Carlos Mendoza talk about it. They sent down Waskar Brazoban, who was having a really good year until recently. And what I later found out listening to Mendy is he was not sent down because of performance. Mm. He was sent down because the Mets want to stretch him out. They want to make him a multi-inning reliever. And Mendy felt he couldn't do that at the major league level. He'd have to do that at the minor league level. And that should have been a sign, since Jose Buteau is their multi-inning reliever, right, that they were probably planning on getting rid of him.
Good point.
So Brazoban, in a lot of ways, is the replacement for Buteau. Let's go to our dear friend John in Massbeth. How things are. By the way, John, I got a question for you before you make your point. Are you ready?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So the other night, someone unraveled a Fire Brian Cashman banner. Was that you, since that was your brainchild from a few years ago?
You know, I wish it was me, but I was dealing with some personal stuff that night, and, you know, I wish it was me, you know? I definitely wish it was.
Well, I hope everything's all right with you. I was hoping everything's all right.
Yeah,
with you,
so. I mean, I'll share the story real quick. My child's mother worked, you know, the shooting at the NFL headquarters building?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Of course, yeah.
My child's mother worked on the 33rd floor, two desks away from where the gunman was.
Oh, my, so, that's terrible. Is she okay?
Dealing with that,
she's okay?
Yeah. Yeah, she actually left 45 minutes before he came to pick our daughter up from camp. If it was the day which I was picking her up, she would have still been there, actually. So,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that hits close.
Yeah, so anyways, I called for a fake trade, right? Let me put it together now.
You have a fake trade. Oh, who doesn't love it? John from Aspen.
All right. A fake trade that, listen, we know how some of these team owners are cheap, right?
Yes.
And I looked it up, and there's no limit on the amount of cash you can send to another team in a trade.
Okay.
What if Hal Steinbrenner calls up the owner of the Pirates and says, hey, I see your payroll this year is $92 million. I'll send you a check for $92 million. Just give us Paul Skene. You're not going to keep him anyways. Your fan base is only going to be more ticked off when you trade him in a couple of years. Just cut all the memories short. He might pitch two or three no-hitters in the next 4 years. Just cut your memories short and take the $92 million and have your payroll paid for the year. Why not just do that?
I love your thinking, though. I mean, I love it because you want Paul Skene.
Can you imagine if they
and then you call the Athletics?
You're not done yet. Yes.
Whose team owner hates the fans and say, "Hey, we'll give you $75 million for Nick Kurtz."
So your plan is Hal is just going to buy everybody. He's just going to go to teams and say, "Here's $100 million for this guy, for that guy." So I will entertain this with this response. The rules in Major League Baseball are that if more than $1 million is changing hands in a trade, it needs to be approved by the commissioner.
Yeah, so the commissioner would never let any of this happen.
The commissioner won't let it happen. He would step in best interest of baseball and say, I'm not allowing that to happen. So it's a good idea, but it's not happening.
So that Mets Chet trade that you were talking about earlier that they're going to get in the middle of, Rob Manfred's likely not allowing that to happen.
No. Okay, so it's a little bit different. I tell you the difference.
Because it's a three-person trade, and it's not just cash?
Teams regularly will trade for players and have the other team buy out a lot of the contract. Okay. I mean, we saw reversal of this, speaking of Drew Gilbert being traded. That's how the Mets were able to get prospects for Justin Verlander. So commissioners will approve it. They won't approve a straight, hey, here's money for a player, especially excessive money like that. Like back in the 70s, and you can fact check this, Charlie Finley was the owner of the Oakland A's, and he tried to just sell everybody off. Like he was selling Raleigh Fingers to the Red Sox, like all this crazy stuff, and the commissioner stepped in and wouldn't allow it in the, quote, best interest of baseball. So, yeah, I think if there's a big contract being moved, sure, the commissioner will approve it. It has before.
Of course.
But if it's just strictly, we're going to give the Pirates a check for $100 million to acquire the services of a player, they just would never allow it. You see the difference,
right?
No,
of course. Okay. Definitely.
But I like the idea. I also love the fact that John and Maspeth thinks Hal Steinbrenner would offer that.
John, maybe Steve Cohen.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anybody, wouldn't it be Steve Cohen?
All right.
Calling up the Pirates. The Pirates should trade Paul Skene.
But they're going to wait.
Waiting is stupid.
Of course it's stupid, but they also need to entertain their fans. They also need to get some, I don't know.
That's worse. That's worse.
It's a tease and everybody knows it.
They've got two options, and one of the options they won't do. Option number one is keep Paul Skeens long term and make sure there's a commitment to keeping Paul Skeens long term.
That would cost them way too much money.
Well, but either do that. Or you trade him now. And the reason why you would trade him now is because, A, he's healthy. A pitcher.
And he's healthy.
He's healthy and could need Tommy John at any moment. And, B, with all those years of control, every team in baseball would be in on him.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pirates have a choice. And this is why they're a loser franchise run by a loser owner. And their fans are not losers. I feel for them.
Mm.
But they have a loser owner and no vision and no commitment to winning. Either you commit yourself to winning and you make sure and a pledge that you will do everything in your power to keep Paul Skeens long term, which is what I would do.
Right.
But since they are run by a fraud, they should just trade him.
Right.
Get a huge package back. It would be a historical package. And move on. Because waiting only diminishes his value, especially if he gets hurt.
So
that's my point. I think it's a good point.
No, it makes sense. Because you're stuck if you're the Pirates owner. There's nothing you can really do unless you are completely changing your philosophy on how you're running your business.
Right.
Because you're not winning, because you're not willing to spend the money to win, yet you're going to sometimes luck into a generational type player.
Yes.
And now you have one, but what are you doing with him?
Yes.
You're going to wear him out and then trade him when he's damaged property and he's not worth as much?
I think
you get back less of a return, which keeps you in the same spot. You currently are in.
100%. What would be so fascinating is if the Pirates were like following my advice, which is probably not paying him, but just trading him, how far we would all go to get him. Like, what would be the package where you say no? Like, it's a fun game. It's a game that's stupid because it's not happening. But to go to a Yankee fan and say, okay, here we go.
That'd be a lot.
I think
both fan base would give up a lot.
We go all the way?
You'd give up a lot.
Prospects be damned?
Yep, prospects be damned.